and welcome to the Weekly Scroll Podcast. My name is Ryan.
And I worship at the altar of coffee. Blessed be thy brew.
And today we have a special guest with us today that is Pavel Kickman of Helltongue Storytelling. How are you doing today, Pavel?
I'm super well. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I'm really happy to have this time with you today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Thank you so much for coming on. Jinx. Look at us. We've only done this 170 times. So for those out there that might not know you or your past work, like what are some of the things that you might be known for in the space?
So I guess the biggest one would be Korbborg, which is, as you probably figure out, a Morgborg hack set in a modern times kind of fantasy world where corporations rule the world as they do. But in the game, they are a bit more explicit about using, you know, human sacrifice, demons and whatnot. So that was kind of my first big project that kind of kicked things off. But since then I've also kickstarted Kill Your Necromancer, which is almost ready. And the last campaign was for Whispers of the Woods, which is also now kind of work in progress, but it's coming really soon.
Yeah, and that looks awesome. Beautiful.
It does. So a lot of your early work is Merkborg related. Sure. Prior to Whispers of the Woods, what about Merkborg? Is that the thing that decided that helped you kind of push into deciding to like put stuff out and be a creator? And if so, like why Merkborg?
Well, yeah, definitely that was the case, and I think it started like 3 years ago when I really started to kind of getting into tabletop RPGs, because I'm one of those people who are like not in the medium for 40 years or whatever. I started relatively late in my life, but I was always close to things like game design, although more on kind of video game side. I was always close to creative writing because I wrote comic books, and I've done pop culture journalism for years now. And so kind of one of my first encounters with tabletop RPGs was Morgborg, and it's basically I was speechless. I was like, whoa, so you know, you can make something like that. It doesn't have to be D&D. And what I kind of loved was not only the style but kind of the minimalism of the rules and the way kind of the game treats you as someone who can manage playing the game. Like, you don't need to have 300 pages of rules just to kind of play one game. And then I thought, because at that time I was kind of out of the kind of comic book business, although it was never a business. It was always kind of, I was an indie creator with very few commercial things done, and kind of my main job for seven years was kind of doing corporate work, and at the time I was kind of looking for something where I can really kind of put my creativity to, and I thought, yeah, I will just start, you know, making things for Morgborg, because, you know, the license is open. So it was a good kind of playground for me. So I started like 2-3 years ago with little things like a class or a short adventure or kind of one page thing. So I've done a few of those for Morgborg and for Cyborg when it came out, which is actually funny because I remember I got the PDF from the Kickstarter a few months before the physical release. So I kind of made two or three add-ons before it was kind of commercially available. it can happen sometimes. And then I thought, you know, it's maybe a time to think about a bigger project, but I need a push. And that push came almost a year ago started to the push started around a year ago when I was left without a job, which was I was like, yeah, okay, I didn't really enjoy this role, and I thought, you know, I deserve more, so it's okay, I will find something else. But I didn't, because the market was absolutely terrible at the time. It was so difficult to find anything, especially because I had very specific set of skills and I was looking for a very, very specific role. But I found one. It was then around kind of April time, so I got an offer. I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And then a few weeks has passed and like, okay, so I, you know, I would like to sign the offer. But I got the call, oh, sorry, Pavel, we are, doing kind of recruitment freeze now. So, we cannot, present you with an offer now. So yeah, so at that point I was left without a job for a few months and I had, no income whatsoever. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do now? And it was my first idea was, yeah, like, yeah, maybe for a change, I will do something that I actually enjoy. And I went to my wife and I said, listen, like the situation is, as you can see, not great, but I would like to kind of take this chance and make tabletop RPGs full time. We had some savings. She had a pretty kind of stable and kind of decent job at the time. So she was like, yeah, okay, how much money do you need? And, you know, how long it will take for you to just kick things off? And yeah, and just kind of sat down and spent a week doing a whole business plan. I had like, I don't know, 20 Excel sheets and stuff like that. And then I thought, okay, I'm ready. I'm just going to do it. So I did. I started to do my kind of my work on core work, and yeah. Since then, I'm still in the business, still making this full time. Although I do kind of part time journalism, as well. But it's more of a kind of yeah. And more of a part-time kind of night job rather than full-time thing, and I'm still here. So it's been tough because being an indie creator is always tough, and you know it's super fun when you do this with having kind of, you know, another day job that can pay your bills and stuff like that. But yeah, but I have to kind of make everything from you know, from making tabletop RPGs, which is great, but which is also stressful. But yeah, still here, still alive and kicking and planning for the future. So I guess that's good. And yeah, this is how it started and this is how it's kind of going.
That's like an incredible like personal come up for you, that you like worked so hard and made this like a semi full-time thing with another job, especially because Kortborg is so unbelievably good and cool.
Thank you.
So like congratulations for that. Like that's huge. I mean, a lot of people never take that leap, but good for you.
Thank you. No, it was a difficult decision to make. But I knew kind of from the very first kind of the second I got that call that they're going through a recruitment freeze, I knew that yeah, if I'm going to make this, it's going to be corp work, because after 7 years in corporations, I knew that I need to kind of harness that hate, that hatred towards corporations and my time with them. So it was a natural choice. And I kind of started plotting corp work like years ago, like 2 years ago, I think. And I had very kind of early draft, but yeah, it definitely evolved into something much bigger than I initially thought it will. But it wouldn't be possible without an army of artists and editors and other people who supported me. So yeah, so it's great that I, you know, I can do it. I can do it full time, and you know, I'm super happy and super proud and grateful that, you know, I can say that I do this kind of professionally. But yeah, it sometimes it's tough. But I would never look back, and I would never regret this decision. Whatever the future brings. I'm you know, I will never regret making that decision, making that leap. But yeah, but fingers crossed it will come around and everything will go smoothly for years. And maybe one day I'll get bored and I'll be like, oh, I'm going back to corporation. No, and that's not gonna happen. That's a joke. Never.
Yeah, back
I
to
would,
corporate life.
yeah, no, I would rather do like a physical work, which I think is great because it gives you a lot of space to think. I would rather do that than go back to a corporate role.
Yeah, I when you said you'd rather do like physical work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I do for my like main job, and it's honestly the best. So I totally understand that. And I was a senior director before, and I would not go back to doing that. So it's interesting, because as an American looking through court work, it's funny how true it still rings. When you were making it, did you like recognize that the corporate experience is like a very, very like
Universal.
universal, ubiquitous experience?
I think so. I kind of never. So I think there are like two different sets of kind of. I don't know how to put it, but kind of two different sources of inspiration for the writing and for kind of for the whole lore of corp work. One was kind of personal experience. But the other one was kind of more general, stereotypical look of how we see corporations and memes and jokes and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I was always trying to make it kind of feel real, and to make like to write it like in a way that will kind of evoke those feelings of, oh fuck, this is something. Okay, can I swear? Sorry.
Yeah,
Oh fuck
totally.
yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
absolutely.
So like to evoke that feeling of, okay, so this is something that I can really relate to, being an office worker or kind of having past corporate experience or something like that. And all those demons and dark magic rituals, human sacrifice, that's kind of, that's a flavor, but a flavor of something that kind of I wanted to feel real. And it's not like stuff that corporations are doing in our world is very different from what corporations are doing and corp work, because yeah, because they're doing a lot of bad stuff as well. So I guess that's why it feels sometimes real. And I had that feedback from people saying, oh, this is too real for me. I'm like, I'm terrified because I kind of lived through something like that. And like, okay, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm happy that I kind of, hit the nail in the head.
Yeah, absolutely. And then after, so your last project though was a departure from Merkborg. It was something a little bit different. It was Whispers of the Woods. So tell us a little bit about that, because that was in January, wasn't it? It was just last month, or yeah.
It's a fresh project. So that was something I initially sorry initially created 2 years ago as a kind of pamphlet, trifold pamphlet, minimalistic thing. So just like two pamphlets, one for the gamekeeper and one for which GM, and one for the players. And I had it play tested a little bit, but I decided not to print it, decided not to go with it, decided not to publish it because I thought I can do better. I can refine this, and I left it for 2 years, and I kind of gathered experience, knowledge, to make it right. So now I feel like I know how to make this project look like I wanted it to look like back then. And it is different. It's very much a passion project, because some people would say it's more of a storytelling game with RPG mechanics, because it's played in a way that you roll the dice, sure, and you have a gamekeeper, sure, but the players are in control of the narrative for the most of the game, meaning You would roll a dice with your buddy, and he would fail, you would succeed, and then you just sit back and you figure out how do you want to narrate the whole scene from start to end, considering the results of the dice roll, and it's kind of player's job to tell that story. It's more like, I imagine the session being like, you know, people gathering around a campfire and telling their past kind of encounters. With weird things in a mystical woods, rather than a game of people just rolling and okay, I want to attack. Oh, you failed. I don't know, bear killed you, whatever. And I don't know how it's going to work. I know that kind of the early version worked pretty well with kind of minimalistic and kind of narrative driven mechanic in mind, but we'll see. I'll definitely play test the shit out of this game, and I will get people to play a lot before I call it ready. But yeah, I'm super excited because it is very different. Not only it's not Borg Project, it's very different from most of the things, which I guess for some people it's cool because yeah, something I don't want to say unique because you will definitely find games like that if you look hard enough. But yeah, I really wanted to make something that I would like to play, and I something that I would love to see being a kind of storytelling experience. For players, not only kind of mechanical thing, and also kind of a playground for me to test a few things like blind rolling, which is a kind of physical act of rolling the dice with your eyes closed. When in game you, for example, when in game you encounter something mysterious, something that you don't understand, something mystical, and kind of and. You as a player, you're going to close your eyes to kind of resemble the act of not being able to see through that mystical veil in game. Then you roll the dice and then you have to guess the result. And the closer you are, the more chances for you to succeed. And I like stuff like that, you know, just binding the physical act of playing and the mechanics with the narrative. So that's why I think it's going to be a cool game. We'll
Yeah, I mean
see what people
that
say.
sounds like it's a good way to create some cool moments for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, so project, because now it's Zine Quest, and you're doing something different again, and this is back to Merkborg with your current project, and that's one that's actually funding right now on BackerKit instead of Kickstarter. So I guess a couple of things with that. Like, first of all, why'd you choose to go to BackerKit for this project, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what the project is.
So there are two reasons. The first one, a very practical one, is that Kickstarter said that I cannot run another campaign when I haven't fulfilled the last one, meaning that I cannot do like two campaigns so close to each other. And I was like, well, why not? I know people, I kind of personally know people who are running a campaign after campaign after campaign. They're like, yeah, but there are special cases we can investigate and then put a green light on, but you're not the case for whatever reason. So no. But it was okay because I was actually looking to work with BackerKit on a project. I didn't know when exactly, but it's a great actually a great opportunity to do that with this one. So we went to BackerKit. And I'm kind of reasonably happy with it. Although we just hit a slump, and I never had a slump like this, because we started really well with like 150 backers in the first day or two, and over the last 24 hours we had like two, which is unprecedented, honestly. And I guess this is partially like two reasons. Probably one, BackerKit is not so good in terms of converting kind of organic traffic, because you know Kickstarter is being browsed by thousands of people, and BackerKit probably not. And if people are going to look for Zine Quest, they would probably go to look for Kickstarter campaigns and not BackerKit campaigns. And that might kind of explain the slump and kind of lack of that organic traffic in the middle of the campaign. But we are fine. I think we are going to get out of the slump soon. We have some things prepared, so that's okay. But I'm really impressed by different options that BackerKit has, and I think it's a very cool platform. And kind of, I guess people should consider it. On obviously Kickstarter is a first choice because it's popular and there's people knows Kickstarter. But I think BackerKit, if they do what they do. And kind of keep that kind of progression. I think they could be a very decent competitor to Kickstarter because they have superior technology, and that's cool. If they have better kind of marketing, if they bring more people in, then I think it could be a close one.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that from other creators as well. I mean, there's a lot of Kickstarter is the monolith, so it's kind of hard to leave that. And when there's so many more people, like you said, organically going to Kickstarter versus something like BackerKit, it's always going to be harder. But they got the foot in the door, and it's going to be a slow progression when more and more projects go to them, more and more people will go to it. But that's what we've heard. Once you've people with like really, really big followings where people are going to go wherever they go, it's a little bit easier. But like you said, it's good to have something on multiple platforms. You can develop a bigger following on BackerKit. And again, when you have more cool projects like this going to BackerKit, more people will go. But the project is Heretic's Guide to the Dying Lands. Like we said, this is back to your roots a bit, back to Merkborg. So what is Heretic's Guide to the Dying Lands? To Dying Lands.
So it is a region or a map or location generator, kind of in a pretty similar to what Vaults of Varn are doing with its location generating tables. So basically the same concept that you have you take a piece of paper, you roll a bunch of dice, and then based on the results, you go and you create your map with different locations like swamp, graveyard, camp, etc. And then you go in the book to those specific places, and then you roll a bunch of dice again, and then you kind of fill those locations with events, NPCs, enemies, loot, kind of special features of those locations. And in 10 minutes, honestly, you can have a one shot, or you can even have a whole campaign prepared on a piece of paper, kind of references to the book, to kind of really make those locations feel alive. And it wasn't my idea. It was Vault Crawler's idea, because we wanted to make something together, because we've worked together on Korpborg, and he's done a cover for Kill Your Necromancer, and he's designed paper miniatures for Kill Your Necromancer. So we're like, yeah, we want to do something together again. And I've asked him, like, what would you like to do? And this was his first idea. He said, oh, have you seen Vaults of Varn? I love it, and the kind of map generator is great, and I never seen anything like it for Morkborg. I'm like, whoa, yeah, let's do it. And I think it is something that personally I've been missing in Morkborg, something like that. There are a lot of different generators for different kind of adventures and stuff like that. But there's no tool like this that, with a few dice rolls, you can honestly create a whole map that will kind of give you hours of playtime and different and unique locations. And the fun thing is that really, all it takes are a few random tables, and then you have like a let's say a camp. And then it's a cannibals camp, and that there are two rival chieftains in this camp, and what's the deal between them, and you know that there is a treasure, and maybe they just want to, fight each other for that treasure, which is a, I don't know, which is a goblin's head, which is kind of delicacy, or something like that. And all it takes is like five dice rolls, and you have a whole setting, to put the players in, and let them wreak havoc or die, whatever. And so yeah, so when I kind of heard that idea from Vaultcrawler, I was like, yeah, we have to do it. So that was kind of that's the origin.
Yeah, it's interesting because, Merkborg, was a fucking battering ram when it came in, and it really changed the scene in a lot of ways. And it also spawned 1.5 million, projects and zines and backgrounds and everything from it too. And I bought a lot of them for a while. But you're right. I haven't really seen this kind of like more OSR-y map generation, almost like hex crawl, variant thing too. A lot of it is very specific. Like a lot of it is a new class or a new location or an adventure. Like it's very like a thing versus like you said, these generative adventures that can happen. So it is really cool to see, and it kind of surprises me that I mean, maybe someone has done something similar and we just haven't seen it, but it kind of surprises me that something like this hasn't come out for Merkborg, especially because
I'm shocked that this is like no one else has like this is a great idea. Like it's a really very, very good idea. I'm reading the project. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But yeah, I'm also surprised, like, man, no one's done this yet. It's a great
Yeah.
idea.
Well, there's so much empty space in Merkborg, and that's the point. There's named locations, but there's so much empty map, and even those named locations, there's so much space exactly for a project like this to fill with things. So, it's definitely a great idea. And I mean, Vaultcrawler's art is insane. So.
Yeah, he's great, and yeah, as you said, I think maybe there is something similar, but with really thousands of third party content, it's sometimes difficult to find everything, even though we have Ex Libris with I think most of the projects that are there to be found in the internet listed, but still, maybe someone, I don't know, maybe someone in Japan. Has done something like that in Japanese, and we never seen it because we I don't know, maybe you do, but I don't read Japanese,
I only have one
and
Japanese
which
Merkborg book
is
so far.
yeah, I've seen it and it looks great. Probably you're probably talking about the same thing, but either way, yeah, maybe someone has done this, and it kind of it's becoming increasingly difficult to promote third party Merkborg content because there's just so many
Yeah.
different things. So, and people are like, they can back a lot of projects, but they cannot back 20 projects at once. And especially now with the Zine Quest, there are a lot of great, like amazing Merkborg or Cyborg projects. It's like I absolutely love, but personally, I cannot afford to back them all. I would love
Yeah.
to. But sometimes it is difficult. And I don't blame people for not supporting everything, but the good thing is that it's a community that really supports third party content so much, and I know that Johan and Pelle and the whole Stockholm cartel, they also support third party content. If they wouldn't, they would never do kind of the license for it. But basically kind of the whole framework they've done and kind of how open they are. It's amazing and really kind of helps. Without Morpork, I wouldn't be here. Not only because I wouldn't be creating Heretic's Guide to Dying Lands, I would not make tabletop RPGs at all. I would probably be stuck at some fucking corporate job, soul sucking, and I guess so. So yeah. So yeah. Thank you, Johan Pelle. You kind of you've changed my life, really, honestly. And yeah, and I think it's actually I think it worked the same for a lot of people. I know a lot of creators that really kind of really started to do this, if not full time, then part time. If not part time, then just kind of aspiring to do this professionally because of Morkborg, and doing Morkborg related stuff, which is amazing. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't agree more. I mean, Johan is great. I mean, everyone at Stockholm is great. As you said, they support the community so much. I mean, even some of the early stuff right after Merkborg came out was community stuff. They have zines, it's all community content. They used to have the Merkborg cult. I mean, the openness of the license. We got mugs and shower curtains and everything. But like, it is fantastic what they did. And again, it really changed the indie space in an interesting way. Even as far as like making people realize a little bit more that like the more open you are with the community, the more people will be in it, which means the more you'll sell. Like it all feeds itself. Mothership did something similar, or has like a similar very
Community driven.
vibrant community. So it's great to see, and it's they did amazing work, and like you said, so many people that have come on the show started with making Merkborg content or have made Merkborg content and stuff like that. And it's because it's a great game. It's light, like you said, the vibes are through the fucking roof, and a lot of us are just a bunch of fucking edgelord dark assholes that like gross dark shit. So it's fun to make and play stuff,
Yeah, it is amazing. And saying community is great and it's the backbone of kind of the whole movement. And it's true, it's so true. And even a community I have, which is not in thousands, but still I have my Discord channel, there are like 200 people, maybe 50 are active and maybe 10 or 12 are really active. But no matter, like all the people who backed any of my project and all the people who kind of commented, asked when the physical release will be, because they haven't backed the Kickstarter for some reason, and all the people who are kind of interested, just it's really something. It kind of feels that what I do makes sense, and I do this for someone, kind of someone is really enjoying what I do, and it's something I've never felt before. And I've never done anything that I would feel like, yeah, that kind of I'm doing something that someone's going to use. And maybe have fun, which actually is what kind of really kind of sold me to make tabletop games, because I could write comic books, or yeah, I could try to write a novel or whatever, but it's such a passive kind of storytelling, because then you kind of force your vision. You kind of force the story onto the reader. When you make video game, also you kind of create boundaries for an experience. And making tabletop RPG, I can kind of give people some tools, and they would tell their own stories, and that's amazing, because from a little brat when I was, I know, 5, 6, 7, I always loved kind of telling stories. And I would drive my parents and my friends nuts, because it was like, shut the fuck up, after 3 hours talking about kind of a zombie apocalypse thing, just shut up. And kind of knowing that I can pass this on to someone who will sit at a table and create their own stories with things that kind of I help create, that's priceless. And also, talking about Japanese stuff, I recently seen some of my work, some of my kind of free stuff translated into Russian, and I already had different proposals of doing a Russian translation of Korvborg, Italian translation of Korvborg, Polish translation of Korvborg. I'm like, whoa, this it feels nice, that someone's interested enough to even think about something like that. So yeah, it's great. Yeah, community, yay. That's we wouldn't be here, like you wouldn't be here as well, if not for the people who kind of love RPGs and kind of wants to support such amazing people as yourself. So
Yeah,
thank
completely
you.
agree there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to what you said. I also think that the stuff that you create is like really very fantastic. And kind of speaking to what Ryan said, that there's like, there's, and what you also said, that like there's hundreds of Merkborg projects, but I feel like yours very much stand out as like a labor of love of the space of Merkborg. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I backed a Merkborg project that wasn't Max, just because personally I'm a little burnt out on it. but I backed Heretic's Guide because I'm like, oh yeah, this is like such a great take on the space and the formula. I think he creates like such high quality work and it really shows. So I'm not shocked that people are reaching out and like, yeah, we should translate this so we can use it because it's really great stuff.
Yeah, and we'll see. I will probably say no to translating core Borg because for the similar reason that Sokolon Hartel don't really want to translate Morg Borg into different languages, it would really interfere with the whole design. And I guess maybe I will change my mind one day. But definitely some of my other work will be translated, like the Whispers of the Woods. I already have people who would translate this into Polish. I'm not gonna, I could probably make games in Polish, but I will never do that probably because, we have such a fantastic community. We have, a lot of people. We have a very good kind of crowdfunding platform and people are making amazing projects there. But I've always felt, doing Morgborg stuff, that's not super popular in Poland because in Poland people like to play in Polish. Although a lot of people speak, perfect English, a lot of people in the RPG community that, they prefer to have their books in Polish, which is fine. But yeah, I couldn't do both. So if someone wants to kind of take my work and translate it, I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. I'm happy to, pay you for it. But yeah, probably I would never do this myself.
Yeah. Well, so you also said that the artist on this project is Vault Crawler, and you said it was their, one of their ideas that kind of kicked it all off. How did you develop a relationship with Vault Crawler? Because it's got to be nice to be friends with someone who's that good at art, because, something everyone's always looking for.
So actually, I think I found him online looking for artists in kind of RPG space, and I've seen his work and was like, hey, would you can I kind of commission something? And we took it from there, actually. But most of the artists I work with or I know, I kind of knew, I know for years now. A lot of people are from the kind of comic book space in Poland. And we have a lot of crossovers, especially lately, a lot of crossovers between comic book scene in Poland and tabletop RPGs in Poland, which is great. Because we have fantastic comic book artists. And actually, yesterday I was playing, actually playtesting a system my friend is working on, and he's such a wonderful comic book creator. He's one of the best. Like, honestly, his work is really kind of, award-winning, but he deserves so much more praise than he's got. And I'm super excited for this project. Like, such a cool system, such a cool idea. And it's great to see people like doing things like that, crossing over and trying to, especially great artists kind of coming to different medium and doing illustration rather than comics. And yeah, a lot of people I've worked with on core work are from the comic book scene.
I mean, again, it must be super nice to have that and have that in your back pocket, because the project does look absolutely fantastic. As you said before, it is on BackerKit, so it's not on Kickstarter. We'll make sure that we put the links everywhere too. But when people go to the BackerKit link and back this project, because they absolutely should, what can they expect to get from the project? Like, are there a bunch of tiers, or what can they actually physically get, or digitally, or whatever?
Yeah, so we really wanted to keep it simple as possible. So you can get a digital copy or you can get a physical copy. The physical copy is going to be at least 44 pages. Well, it will probably be more because already we need a lot of space to make it work. But yeah, it's going to be, high quality print. And that's it really, because I know it's such a drag doing a lot of different tiers and different add-ons, and we decided, it's all in there. Like, the product will be complete. Like, you will have everything you wanted to make. It's going to be in this book. So it's simple. You want digital, get digital. You want a physical copy, you get a physical copy. And we think it's reasonably priced as well. So I think people should be happy. And honestly, I think a lot of people are getting a physical version, much more than I anticipated. Usually it's like 65% people getting, or 70% people getting physical copy, address getting digital and or kind of higher tiers. But yeah, here very few people took the digital copy, which is great. You know, paper is always paper, and I think it's a bit easier also to use it when you create your map, being able to quickly just turn the page on. So yeah, but that's it. You know, that's really all there is. And we actually just a few minutes ago we just hit our first stretch goal, which is a custom map template.
Nice.
It's going to be a template for you to print, and then you can roll onto this template, and it will look cool. It'll look professional. You'll have some additional space to take notes, and then you can make a photo, put it on Instagram. People will be like, "Whoa, or oh, that's great." So that's that. And the next stretch goal at 5,666 euros is going to be four additional pages. And then the last stretch goal, should we get there, is going to be one page adventure, probably printed separately, only maybe like a folded bigger map, like A2 dimension or something like that, included for free for every backer. So that's yeah, we really wanted to keep it very simple. You just get the game, you don't get any kind of pins or whatever. And I think, you know, especially for Zine Quest, it's probably more reasonable because, you know, people are spending a lot of money, so you want it to be kind of reasonably priced and don't really throw a lot of different options, so people can just go and read what it is about and back it, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't agree more with that. I really hope a lot of people seem to be keeping projects simpler now for so many reasons. One, like you said, it's Zine Quest. People want zines, not necessarily all the bits and bobs, but you know, post-pandemic, shipping is crazy, production costs are up, like everything. It's just there's so much more that goes into getting a whole box full of stuff. I mean, I've got projects that I've been waiting on for years now because so much of it came with so much stuff. So it's nice to actually back a project, see the project end, and then get the project when you still remember that you spent money on it. So definitely like to see that. And especially for Zine Quest, that it's pretty straightforward. And even the stretch goals really don't add a whole lot. It's not like you're gonna write like 50 more pages or bring in like five more people. So it's really nice that it's gonna that it's happening. It will happen. It'll, you know, anything extra will be done. And so, because the project is funded, like you said, it's already at, you know, passing the first stretch goal. And it still has 10 days left on it. So after that project's done, I know you'll have Whispers of the Woods working on, you'll have Heretic's Guide to the Dying Land you're working on. But what is kind of the future for Helltongue storytelling for Pavel Kessman? With anything on the docket, or are you gonna calm down and just finish the stuff you're on?
So that's the problem, that I cannot really slow down, because if I need to kind of do campaign after campaign and kind of reasonable windows, right? I need to have time to finish previous projects. But I guess it all kind of shifted a little bit because of corp work, because it took so much time. But now I'm kind of getting there, so I should get into a rhythm and I should be on track with everything. But I will have to start another campaign in a month's time, just to be able to pay my bills. And the next project will be a different thing, a solo game, solo tabletop RPG game. About is going to be set in a kind of medieval fantasy world as you know it, but it's kind of post-Cataclysm cataclysm. So people are kind of more pissed off and people are poor and it's like, everyone's not really super happy. And your job is to, as a guardian of giants, your job is to deliver or escort the last giant across the lands so he can meet his or her faith by the sea. And yeah, and again, something that I haven't seen done too many times. I mean, kind of escort solo RPG. But also I really wanted to make this because one night I just couldn't sleep and I made the whole game. And kind of I made up all the kind of mechanics. I have it on my phone. It took me a few hours, and then I couldn't sleep because I was so excited. But it was a few months ago, and I always let my ideas kind of sit and wait and boil, and when it's ready, I can press. So that will be my next project. I'm actually I should be commissioning art this week, so I should have some more information about it soon. But yeah, but then I think I'll have to go back to Morgborg for also because I love it. That's first thing, and also for marketing reasons because it's is always a bit easier to get people to back a Morgborg project because I know where to look. I know those people. They know me a little bit. So it's a bit easier. So it will probably look like this, that I'll do one kind of work project and then I'll do one kind of more of a passion project. And we'll see how it goes. But after Korpborg, I'm really thinking about making another kind of a bigger hack. So again, kind of interesting setting, based on those rules, based on kind of, the vibe. But something very, very different again. Although it's not like Korpborg is unique because it's not, because someone's done Morgkorp a few years ago, and there is another project called Morgorg done by my friends from gosh from Beyond Cataclysm, and they are working on it. So that's great. But yeah, we'll see. And hopefully I will have a game to kickstart or to put in backer or whatever. That will not be mine. That I will publish something that someone else has done. Fingers crossed. That would be really cool. Because yeah, the project is amazing, so we'll see how it goes. And yeah, and it's a grind. So yeah, there will be many more projects to come. And until I'm defeated or I'm victorious, we'll see.
I mean, that's great to see because, as Hunter said before, your stuff is really good. I really, really enjoyed it. I backed Korpborg, so I got it when the PDFs first came out and everything, and it's really, really good. And there is so much Merkborg stuff out there, and some of it is really, really good. A lot of it's fine. But I do have to say, like, your stuff is, especially Korpborg, is way up there at the top. So if you are going to be bouncing from some passion project back to Merkborg, it's going to be nice to see that, whether it's on Kickstarter or BackerKit or whatever it is. So I'm definitely looking forward to more things coming out from Helltongue, and it sounds like you have an idea to expand publishing other people's stuff as well too. So I mean, I can only imagine that this is a more fun grind than the corporate grind, but we all know that it's
It
hard work
is.
too. Yeah.
It is. It is a fun grind, and I'm so grateful that I can do this. I'm grateful to my wife that she supported me. I'm so grateful for all the people who kind of backed my projects, and I'm grateful to people like yourself who can take me in for an interview and spread the word. So yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Yeah,
of
of
course.
course.
So where can people find not just this, it's on BackerKit. We'll make sure the link is down there and everything as well too. But where can people find the rest of your things so they can find where Korpborg is and everything we're talking about in all your future things?
So most things are on H. It's just let me Google the address. Yeah,
I
it's just
have it.
so,
It's a,
yeah, it's
it's
just
Yeah, it's helltongue-storytelling.itch.io. No creator ever knows their itch off the top of their head, and I always have it open.
It is. Yeah, thank you so much. So there you can get Corkboard in digital version, although a refined version with two additional pages will come hopefully this week. I need to find some time just to put it in there because I had to add two pages because the printer were like, oh, but it's not dividable by four. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, what do I do? I just need to add two more pages, some cool random tables. So I did. And then you can find basically every other project I made. Most of it's for Morkborg Cyborg, but some kind of one-page games like Cannons and Kisses, which is a pirate hack for lasers and feelings. It's super cool. I really like it. And others, and kind of you can also find me on DriveThruRPG, should you prefer that over H. And yeah, that's where you can find me. And usually I go by my name and surname or by Helltongue Storytelling. So both should give you some results. Yeah, there's only one Helltongue Storytelling and there are a couple of Pavel Kitzmans. But if you just put RPG or Borg or anything like that, that's going to be me.
There you go. And like we said, we'll make sure that all the links are on the bottom. But Pavel, thank you so much for coming on. You know, I've been backing your stuff since Corkboard, and looking forward to all the stuff you do in the future. And this will, I can only assume, not be the last time you hear about Pavel here on the show. So we really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So that's it. So that will be our episode for today. Again, thank you, Pavel, for being here. You know where all of our links are. They're on the screen. They're below. It is what it is. We'll make sure that you can find Pavel everywhere we go. And that'll be it for today. Thank you and have a good day, everybody.
Bye. Bye.